Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The story that has rocked the sports world, the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, who's 13, was 13, and seven others in a helicopter crash in Southern California yesterday. And it's accentuated, and it is, it is emblematic of just how transcendent he was, not just a basketball player, but what happened last night at the Grammys. Alicia Keys.
Here we are, together, on music's biggest night, celebrating the artists that do it best. But to be honest with you, we're all feeling crazy sadness right now. Because earlier today, Los Angeles, America, and the whole wide world lost a hero. And we're literally standing here heartbroken in the house that Kobe Bryant built.
From CBS last night during the Grammys. It was one of those moments yesterday. And this, you have to consider the generation and what the NBA means and what Kobe meant and how big a force he was. And again, to have him recognized like that at the Grammys shows how transcendent his talents were and what he meant to people. This was a moment yesterday, and I swear to it, it is like, and we obviously weren't alive for this or don't remember it. Most of us weren't alive for it. But when Elvis died, when John Lennon died, when the announcement came through, it is for me always going to be one of those moments. This is for our generation, I think, that you remember exactly where you were when you got the news that Kobe Bryant was dead. That to me is what it is. Jim, I know for past generations, for other generations, it's Elvis, it's John Lennon, it's other things, it's even a presidential assassination.
Yeah, Kennedy, I was eight.
But this, for this generation, for this group of people who consume the NBA, and for this group of people that are into sports, you're always going to remember where you were yesterday.
Yeah, I just flipped over to the Pro Bowl to see what was going on. And then Joe Tessitore says, you know, we have this sudden tragic news. And, you're just waiting for the next thing. And it's like, oh, man. And then you find out his daughter was with him. And it was just, you know, as the day went on, it just got sadder and sadder.
Well, and I think that's and to sort of drive it home for me, and not to make it about me personally, but we had just left my daughter's basketball game, and so you put it in perspective that Kobe Bryant was doing something that so many of us do on an everyday basis, which was, and granted, in a much different fashion, on a much different scale. But he was taking his kid to a basketball game. He was doing something he loved to do as a parent. And that's what really makes it difficult to swallow. And yes, you're right, Colin. We'll all remember where we were, because Kobe, I think, had started to make the transition, was in the process of making the transition as a retired player from what we all knew as, you know, the Black Mamba, the cutthroat competitor, right, to an entertainment mogul of sorts, and to really embracing the role of father and dad, and that is to see that transition cut short is makes it very difficult to swallow. Well, as well,
the one thing born out of this that's interesting to me is you get social media, you get people in traditional media, you get a lot of people who say, well, this is a real case of you better cherish every day, you better appreciate those around you. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope you're doing that to begin with, sure. Right? And I hope that that's happening without the tragedy with Kobe Bryant and a helicopter crash and things like that. But if that's what it takes for you to realize that, and if that's what it takes for you to understand that, then so be it. Again, I hope that that's already happening in your life. But if this is a moment where it forces you to understand that kind of stuff, the death of a very high-profile basketball player and a very high-profile member of our society and American culture, then perhaps that's what it's going to take to push it forward. Again, I hope that that was commonplace, but maybe for some people this is sort of a wake-up call of sorts, and that's what happened. And they use different points in their life to kind of inwardly take them, and then they manifest out as being a better person, and maybe that's what it'll be. It's inexplicable, it's unexplainable, and there's no, you know, rhyme or reason to it.
No.
But you'll hear that a lot, and you'll see that a lot on social media, that you have to cherish every day. Again, I hope you were doing that to
right.
begin with.
But it's a little bit of a perspective provider. That's what it is. When a 40, you know, whether it's Kobe Bryant or your neighbor down the street, when a 41-year-old father of four dies and his teenage daughter is alongside him, it really does. It provides perspective, I think, for all of us to take a step back and say, all right, not just embracing every moment in the midst of every day, but are we putting everything in the proper perspective? That's, I think, the best way to frame it.
Yeah, stuff just becomes routine. I mean, for him, he took that helicopter, you know, not a million times, but, you know, hundreds of times. And that was his, you know, that was his mode of commuting. And so it's just, I don't know. Like you said, it is inexplicable. I think we tend to take things for granted a lot of times. It's just like, okay, I leave for work, I'm going to come home, and Linda's going to be there, and, you know, and everything else. And sometimes you just never know.
412-928-9370, your thoughts on Kobe Bryant. And I think that to see the outpouring of people from all different sports, from all different cultures, from all different walks of life, from the Grammys last night, from the entertainment business, it showed what an entity, not in a bad way, but just what an entity in a corporate entity, in a sales entity, in a big personality entity Kobe Bryant had become. Not everybody can become more than just the sport that they're in. He had become not just a basketball player, but he had become, quite honestly, a personality and somebody that transcended his sport.
Well, and not many people would have been up to the task of stepping to the forefront of a league in the wake of Michael Jordan's retirement and becoming somewhat the face of the league. But Kobe very much did that, and you can't dispute the legacy that he left on the floor.
Well, he's one of the guys. He had one name. Kobe Bryant, his dad played in the NBA years ago, but you just knew Kobe. And there are only only very few athletes that just one name, and you know exactly who you're talking
Coming
about.
Coming up next, a very divergent choice by two different places. To one, they said, let's go on. One said, let's stop everything. Who made the right call? Who made the wrong call? Let's get into this a little bit more. All right, we're on Twitter, 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Big story today, and will be probably for a little while for sure, is the death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, 13-year-old daughter, in a helicopter crash along with seven others. All right, two kind of divergent paths people took. One, the NBA, and they're falling under a little bit of criticism social media-wise for letting the games go on. There were eight games last night, or during the course of yesterday. 16 teams played. I mean, two teams playing a game, we know that. The Lakers were not one of those teams. If the Lakers had been one of those teams, I'm sure that that game probably would have been postponed, put off. So the NBA went on and played. That happened. Kind of a different decision made, though. You know, and they're not really comparable, but you can look at things and say something stopped. Whereas those games went on, something stopped. Mark Cuban came out and said that no player in his franchise's history, moving forward, the Dallas Mavericks history, where Kobe Bryant did not play or kind of didn't really have an association with, no player will wear the number 24 ever again. I look at those two situations. I think the life goes on, you know, but did the NBA do the right thing? I think probably, but I can buy the argument from some that said, well, you know, could have been a day of mourning. They could have stopped. And life always goes on. That's the thing, no matter what. But did they need a day off? I don't know. Well, I don't know. I can listen to both sides.
I'll say this. When I initially saw the report, and there was briefly a report that the league was going to shut down and cancel all the games. And then probably a half hour later, less than that even, was the report that, no, everybody would go on and play as scheduled. When I initially saw that report that they were going to cancel the day's games, I said, yeah, that makes total sense to me.
When I saw that the news was confirmed that it was Kobe Bryant who was killed in this plane crash, or excuse me, helicopter crash, I thought certainly, that the games would be done.
Yeah.
would not be played yesterday. It's not the biggest thing. It's just a case of evaluating and quickly having to evaluate. Because think about if you're Silver, right? And you go and you look at what's going on in the league. You are going to get... I don't think you can be criticized at all if you just bag the games that day.
No, I don't think it would have been...
I don't think one person could come out and say, you know what, we should have played. But then, you will get the outliers. You'll get crazy people who say, well, then you're valuing death, right? And then some other guy dies, albeit, you know, in a catastrophic way, or maybe even not. Are we going to cancel games when this guy does? And he ranks here on the scoring list. Or he's,
right.
But... there's death, and then there's untimely death, too.
Yeah, and that's the compounding factor, I think, is the shocking and surprising nature. And I think it would have been totally reasonable. In fact, I wouldn't have had, as I said, wouldn't have had a problem with it at all if they would have said, you know what, given the shocking nature of this, let's give everybody a 24-hour window at the very least to sort of decompress. I mean, Kyrie Irving left, from what I understand. I don't know if they're playing at the Barclays or not, but he left the arena where the Nets were, went home, didn't play yesterday. You saw every single team, as Jim mentioned in his update, and I'm sure people are aware of by now, everybody opened the game with a 24-second clock violation. I saw in at least one game the then second team to gain possession held the 8-second backcourt violation to honor the two uniform numbers for Kobe. So, I mean...
I don't like the Cuban move. I'll be real honest with
that
you.
To me...
It feels like it's about him. Because here's the thing. Would it have been less effective if he would have done it this weekend, at the end of this year? Would it have been less effective if he would have waited until after a funeral, after everything? Like, he has to do it the day of and make a decorative... declare a big statement. It just doesn't sit well with me.
I mean, it's ultimately it's up to him whether he wants to do it or not. So I'm not gonna, but it struck me as just a very quick sort of emotional decision. If the Lakers had come out and said that yesterday, well, obviously his number's already retired there, so they didn't have that decision to make. It wouldn't have surprised you. But I don't know. It struck me as a very quick emotional decision. But I don't know. It's hard to judge that on its face right away. As for the games being played, it just struck me that I don't know. I can't think of anybody who would have had a problem with just pushing everything back, shuttering the league for about 24 hours while everybody sort of learns of and adjusts to the news.
And now we get into the business of the games. Can anything overshadow the big game? You know, that's the thing. We as a society and as a sports society, always just have the next game that's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a morning period. We'll have a period in which we'll go over this. And the way sports works is by Thursday or Friday, it'll sift through. It'll go through. We'll always remember Kobe Bryant. And then I don't think the Super Bowl will be any different.
No, I imagine there will be some...
That's just the way the sports cycle works.
I imagine there may be some recognition of it pregame, but I don't know how the NFL will decide to do that. But yeah, I mean, the way the cycle works, if it, even shocking, surprising, terrible news like this doesn't last much longer than a few days in our news cycle anymore.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.